Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. And this scripture, I believe, speaks to this notion of coveting something, jealousy, faith, and forgiveness. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And this is the laborers in the vineyard parable. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I'll pay whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he did the same. At about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idly all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last few, they worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us. Who has borne the burden of the day and the scorching of the heat?" But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this the last is the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be the first, and the first will be the last. May the Lord add his blessings to today's word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. This parable of the workers in the vineyard at first comes off as a labor versus management dispute, and we know how those go in general. However, as we take a closer look, we can see that the real story is one of holy generosity. The setup of the story can be found in chapter 19 of Matthew, where the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and asks what he must do to enter the kingdom. Jesus asks him about his faith and spiritual practice, and then finally his instruction: sell all your belongings and follow me. While it seems unreasonable, perhaps even harsh, to stop there is to miss the point. The point would be the issue of faithfulness, meaning God is faithful, so the question is, are we? In the great musical Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye says, "Dear God, you made many poor people. I realize that there is no shame to be poor, but it's no great honor either. So what would have been so terrible if I had a small fortune? If I were a rich man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a rich man, I'd build a house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of town, a fine tin roof and a real wooden floor below. There would be one long staircase going up and one even longer coming down, and one more leading nowhere, just for show. I'd fill my yard with chicks and turkeys and geese and ducks for the town to see and hear, squawking just as noisily as they can, with each loud, cheap squawk, honk, quack, they would all land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. I'd see my wife, my Goldie, looking like a rich man's wife with a proper double chin, supervising meals to her heart's delight. I see her putting on airs and strutting like a peacock. Oy, what a happy mood she's in, screaming at the servants day and night. If I were a rich man, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in the synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the eastern wall, and I discuss the holy books with the learned men several hours a day. That would be the sweetest thing of all. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man? It's an interesting question. We still ask it. Would it spoil? Every now and then when the lottery gets over $100 million, I throw a dollar at it just to dream a little like Tevye. Now, I'm not advocating gambling. It's a sort of a small form of entertainment. I spend less on a lottery ticket than even my senior discount at the movies. It's just sort of a little funny dream. Jeff Foxworthy, a noted comedian, is from the South. I believe it's Georgia. He says most of his family's retirement plan is the lottery. It's a place they go to dream. Again, not an advocation for gambling, but because I have had to deal with that kind of stuff with people coming for counsel. So I understand. Would it hurt if I were a wealthy man? It's been a while since I've seen the bumper sticker, yet every now and then, I'll probably see it on the way home today, it shows up. I owe, so it's off to work I go. So much of what we are and who we are revolves around worth. How much can we make? How much does it cost? Can we afford it? And then that question of, have we saved enough for retirement? Ugh, tough question. Each of us will have to answer that in our own ways, in our individual times. About this notion of generosity, there's a story, and honestly, this is the name of a church in Dillon, Montana. The pastor there is David H. Andrew, and the name of the church is the Cowboy Church. Where else would it be but Montana? Maybe Wyoming. His story is, and he says it's apocryphal, but who knows? A man walked through a neighborhood on the first Monday of the month and stopped by the first house on the block. He knocked on the door and said to the homeowner, I've come into some money and I want to share my good fortune. I'd like to give you $100 if that's okay. The flabbergasted homeowner said, of course it is. The homeowner gave thanks, and the mysterious stranger walked away. This was repeated each Monday for the rest of the month. The stranger appeared at the door. The homeowner received a crisp Ben Franklin. That's who is on $100. On the first Monday of the next month, the mysterious philanthropist walked down the sidewalk and went to the second house on the block and repeated that. From that first house on the block, the homeowner yelled, hey, where's my money? Where's my money? That's sort of how we are, like those in the vineyard. Where's our money? What is fair? Part of the message of this text is lost in our own sense of expectations. We expect what we expect to happen doesn't in fact happen. We use phrases like the daily grind to explain how we move through life. It's quite possible those workers in the vineyard felt the same, especially those who had been there the longest. They had gone through the grind of the day, and those who came last not only were paid first, they were paid exactly the same. Here they were doing their very best and expected maybe a little something extra, but they had agreed with the landowner, with the owner of the vineyard, as to what was fair. The push and pull of daily life sometimes, however, comes to us in different ways. we can experience it a variety of ways. Kathleen Norris, in a book titled Between the Dishes and the Divine, said we should not allow ourselves to be defeated by the so-called daily grind, because that is the fact, that is in fact where we live, and it is senseless to allow ourselves to be defeated by the so-called daily grind. She asks that we consider allowing ourselves to be receptive to the holy in the ordinary. She cites G.K. Chesterton in the 20th century theologian who, in his text titled Orthodoxy, said that though God makes daisies every day, God never gets tired of making them. That is God's strength, to exult in the daily rather than to despair over it. And so it is with the grace and hope and love of God. God never tires of offering us grace and forgiveness and understanding. Yet we get caught with this daily grind. That the song that Jeff shared, I ask him to sing because it somehow that song came into mind, just the way it is. Some things will never change. It's just the way it is. But the tagline is, don't believe them. I heard that 31 years ago and had to stop, pull to the side, because the song literally made me cry. If you didn't get it, the subtext is he's talking about people who are struggling with life to get work. He's struggling with the notion of the existence of systemic racism that existed then and exists now in some form and fashion. So I guess the question I would ask is, what line are you standing in? Are you standing in that line that looks to find places to experience awe, see the divine in doing the dishes, to see the divine in doing laundry, to see the divine in the mundane sameness that is life? Or are you looking for a lottery ticket so you can cash in? I think there's some invitation in this text about the workers in the vineyard. If we're identifying with the grumbling workers, we've missed the point of what it means to be part of the flock that lifts rather than those who honk and grumble. God calls us and claims us each and every day to the divine, to the mundane, and yet again to see the divine in that mundane. May it ever be so. Amen.